It's time now for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the family-owned Duluth Grill. Joining us this morning is Ewan Reavy. He's a senior resource associate with the Water Initiative. And we're talking this morning about an algae bloom on Lake of the Woods. Ewan, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about this algae bloom. Are all algae blooms created equal in the sense that they're all harmful, or is it just some of them, like the blue-green algae we hear about?
Well, blooms in general, most of them are not really a good thing. The sorts of blooms that we're dealing with are ones coming from blue-green algae, or what we call cyanobacteria, and they can actually be toxic. So they are, at least in freshwater, they are a particular concern. Other blooms, maybe not so much.
So let's talk about this bloom at Lake of the Woods. What are some of the problems there? And talk a little bit about paleolimnology. That sounds like a great word to just trot out and say, yes, that's what I do.
So the backstory on this is that, Lake of the Woods up north in Minnesota has had a lot of problems with nutrient pollution in the past, and they supposedly have gotten better. And yet we still are seeing these massive blooms form over the lake, late summer, almost every year. And so we were called upon to reconstruct the long-term history and see, okay, is this a natural thing maybe that we're dealing with? So we collected sediment cores, and this is the science of paleolimnology, when you analyze the ecological history of a lake using the fossil remains that are archived in that sedimentary record in sediment cores. So that's what we did to reconstruct the long-term history and determine, what's the real story with the blue-green algae in Lake of the Woods.
That is unbelievably fascinating that you can find that out. How far back did you go, and what did you find?
Well, in this case, we went back I think it was about 250 years to reconstruct the ecological history of the lake. And what we found is, indeed, it is a human-driven problem. And what we found is that even though we have dealt with excess pollution making its way into the lake, a lot of it is stored now down in those sediments. And the pollutants, the nutrients, are periodically mixed up and feeding these algae blooms. But the good news is, based on the long-term reconstruction, is that eventually what is archived, those pollutants that are archived in the sediments, are going to make their way out. They'll be washed out eventually in probably about 30 years. So we should see improvements, and maybe these blue-green algae blooms will go away.
All right. Naive, dumb, not science-based question. Looking for a sensible science-based answer. Would there be any way of flushing them out sooner and getting rid of them?
Not really. It's a huge lake, and it takes these bigger lakes, like Lake Superior, take many, many years, and you just need to wait for it to work itself out of the system. The water for Lake of the Woods comes in a large river, the Rainy River. The water comes in. It does its thing within the lake and eventually flushes out on the north side into Canada, and you basically just have to wait for that to happen.
Well, Canada wouldn't be that excited about getting a whole bunch of pollutants necessarily either. So in the meantime, does it become we have to just keep managing the symptoms until the illness itself has run its course?
With a lake this size, basically, yes. If it was a small lake, I mean, there are things you can do about blooms. You can add copper, for instance, to deal with algae problems. But this lake is so huge, it would cost millions upon millions to do anything practical to deal with this problem. So it really is going to be a wait and see.
This is so fascinating, though, that you're able to kind of go back in time and see what happened. When you pull out the core sediment, every so often we've seen on science programs, a core, what looks like a core of sediment, and you can kind of see layers, and this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened as you go down toward the bottom. Is that kind of the way it looked?
Oh yeah, I mean that's precisely what we do. We, you know, in Minnesota, lakes don't often have extremely visible layers in the sediment, but that doesn't mean the story isn't there. I mean, we pull the sediments out, and we are looking at the microscopic fossils. So you might not physically see color changes in the sediment, but the story is there, hidden in the sediments.
That is so unbelievably cool. It would be so neat to, you know, hey, can we have a tour and come in and see what Minnesota looked like 250 years ago with a microscope? Our, I will ask you if you've got some photographs, if you'll share them with me, because I'm sure audience members are really curious now if there are some photographs of some of this stuff that they can look at. The charm of radio is that now we have a website and we can show people some pictures. So that would be absolutely wonderful.
Oh, yeah. We have lots of photos.
That would be great. Ewan, thank you so much for joining us this morning. What a pleasure to have you as our guest.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Ewan Reavy joined us this morning. He's a senior research associate with the Water Initiative. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible in part by the family-owned Duluth Grill, offering organic, homemade, and fair trade menu items, and Heritage Window and Door, the Twin Port supplier for Renewal by Anderson Windows and Doors.